Meron tayong magandang leksyon ngayon na may kinalaman sa the incarnation. As I said last week, we are studying doctrines for this month. And this is not just an ordinary doctrine. Ito ay doktrina na pinag-isipan ng maraming henerasyon ng mga hindi lamang mga theologians, mga ordinaryong Kristiyano at mga iglesia, at bumuo ng mga doktrina, ng isang doktrina na talagang kamangha-mangha. Ang nakakalungkot ay ito ang buwan na marami ang nagkaangkin na inaalala nila ang kapanganakan ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo, ngunit malayong malayo sa itinuturong doktrina ng salita ng Diyos na binigyang katawagan sa theology, the incarnation o pagkakatawang tao. Ang sabi ni C.S. Lewis, binigyan din na natin last week, but just to recall, the central miracle asserted by Christians is the incarnation. They say that God became man. Every other miracle prepares for this or exhibits this or results from this. So pinakasentrong himala na inaangkin ng mga Kristiyano ay kung paanong ang Diyos ay nagkatawang tao. Yung Diyos na eternal, infinite, yet in the manger, can you even think that this baby, a real baby, yet He is the eternal Son of God. At ang itinuturo natin, ang kanyang pagiging anak ng Diyos ay siyang kanyang kalikasan na mula ng walang hanggan. Hindi ito nagsimula nung siya'y ipinanganak o nagsimula nung siya'y binautismuhan o ang sabi ng iba nang siya ay mabuhay mula sa mga patay. The sonship of Christ is an eternal sonship. The revelation, yung pagpapahayag nito, yung pagkaalam natin na siya'y anak ng Diyos ay progreso. May progreso sa revelation. Hindi natin agad nalaman. Ang pinakamaliwanag na kaalaman ay ibinigay sa bagong tipan. Pero yung kalikasan, ibig sabihin, yung kalikasan niya bilang anak ng Diyos, kanyang-kanya na mula pa sa walang hanggan. Ibig sabihin, ando na ang Ama at ang Anak at ang Banal na Espiritu mula pa noong walang hanggan. Nakakamang katotohanan yan, pero yan ang pinanghahawakan natin bilang mga mananampalataya. Ang ating Diyos ay Diyos ng Trinidad sa walang hanggan, Ama at Anak at Espiritu Santo. Ngunit ang pagkapahayag sa atin na bigyang liwanag sa bagtipan, lalo pa nung isilang na nga ang Mesiyas, ang ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Pero yung kanyang pagkamesaya, yung kanyang pagiging Kristo at tagapagligtas ay batay sa kanyang pagiging anak ng Diyos. Kaya nga wala nang iba pa na pwedeng tagapagligtas dahil walang may kalikasan na katulad ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Hindi si Maria, hindi ang sino mang santo, ang Panginoong Hesukristo lamang ang may kalagayan na kanyang-kanya bilang anak ng Diyos. At ito ang ating ipinapahayag. At itong anak ng Diyos, ang siyang sinasabi natin ay nagkatawang tao. Isinilang maraming mga talata ang nagpapahayag niyan. Isang susing talata ay sa John 1 verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So, tatlo ang sinasabi yan. Ando na nung pasimula pa, kasama na ng Diyos, at siya mismo ay Diyos. And then sinabi ng verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." Ipapaliwanag ko lang itong salitang flesh. Eh, sa iba, akala nila katawan lang. Yung flesh, pag ginagamit po yan sa Grego, ay tumutukoy sa buong pagkatao. Kaya hindi lang yan yung katawan. Ang akala ng iba, si Jesus ay Diyos, tapos kumuha ng katawan, at yung katawan parang pambihis sa kanyang pagka-Diyos. Hindi lang yung katawan ang kanyang pagkatao. Ang kanyang pagkatao ay buong pagkatao, kaluluwa at katawan. Ang kanyang inangkin, at ang sabi riyan, "dwelt among us." Yung salitang dwelt dito, napakaganda niyan sa ego. Ito ay tabernacled. Siya ang naging tabernakulo. Ano ba yung tabernakulo sa lumang tipan? Yun ang ginawang tahanan ng Diyos o yung nagsilbing pananahanan ng pangalan ng Diyos. At sinasabing kay Hesukristo nangyari yan. At doon nakita yung kanyang kaluwalhatian. "The glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then, isa pang talata, Galatians 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law." At ang dahilan daw niyan, to redeem, to busin, ang mga nasa ilalim ng kautusan upang tanggapin natin ang pagkukupkop bilang mga anak. Kaya dito makikita natin uli yung pagkasilang niya ay talagang taong-tao siya, isinilang ng babae at siya ay nasa ilalim ng kautusan. And then you have Romans 1:3 and 4 concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Liliwanagin ko lang kasi may mga nag-aakala na parang sinasabi niyan, naging anak siya ng Diyos nung siya ay mabuhay mula sa mga patay. Hindi yan ang sinasabi ng talata. Maliwanag ang sinasabi ng talata, declared. Hindi siya became Son of God. He was declared to be the Son of God in power. Before that, he was the Son of God in weakness. 2 Corinthians 13. In weakness, but with the resurrection, inassume niya muli yung power. Before the resurrection, talagang he was in weakness, in humiliation, in lowliness. But since the resurrection, he was declared to be the one Son of God in power. Kaya dyan makikita po natin yung mga talatang nagpapatunay na sa kanyang kapanganakan, meron siya talagang likas ng pagkatao. Flesh. At yung flesh, ginagamit yan madalas sa bagong tipan na hindi lang basta pagkatao, kundi yung pagkatao sa kanyang kahinaan, yung kanyang karupukan. At lahat ng yan, tinaglay ng anak ng Diyos nung siya ay naging tao. Lahat ng kalikasan ng tao, totoong-totoo nang si Jesus bilang anak ng Diyos ay nagkatawang tao. Ang tutukan natin ay ang isang controversial na passage dahil naging controversial ito sa theology. Nagkaroon ng iba't iba mga teorya ng dahil dito, ito ang Philip, yes, tama. Dito muna, tingnan natin yung nangyari sa Romans 1, 3, and 4. Siya'y eternal son by birth. Sabi, according to the flesh by birth in weakness. Ang nangyari sa resurrection, by resurrection, he was declared son of God in power. Kaya hindi siya naging anak lamang ng Diyos sa resurrection, kundi tinanghal. Son of God na siya even before. Nung siya'y ipinanganak, in weakness. Pero since the resurrection, declared in power. So sa resurrection, siya ay tinanghal na anak ng Diyos sa kapangyarihan. Wala pa yan. Before the resurrection, he was still Son of God by birth, Son of God eternally. When he was born, he was in weakness. But since the resurrection, declared Son of God in power. Ang tingnan natin ay yung controversial na talata, Philippians 2:5-8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Now, take note, I underscore that. Yan yung literal translation. Ekenoze emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Now, ang naging controversia dito ay itong salitang emptied himself. Ang tinatanong ngayon, ano yung na-empty sa kanya? At ang naging mga discussion ay na-empty siya ng kanyang pagka-Diyos, kaya nung siya ay narito sa lupa, hindi siya Diyos, o na-empty siya ng mga ilang kakayahan o attributes ng Diyos, kaya he was less than God, or at iba't iba pang mga naging mga tinutukoy na anuman yung na-empty sa kanya. Gusto kong ipaliwanag itong emptied himself, ekenoze, is always used wherever it is used in the New Testament, it is always used figuratively. Hindi siya ginamit ng literal na may nawala. Lagi siyang ginagamit, ang ibig sabihin lang ay winalang halaga. Hindi sa may nawala sa kanya. Laging ginagamit, I gave you some of the scriptures parallel dyan. Kayo nang tumingin mamaya. Pero ang laging tinutukoy ay discounted or treated as without value. Hindi ibig sabihin na may talagang nawala, kundi yung pagtrato. At ayang sinasabi nga riyan, at kung titingnan nyo, ang tinutukoy nga yung attitude ng mga Kristiyano, tularan daw si Kristo. Paanong tutularan?
Dahil siya bagamat siya'y Diyos, hindi niya inangkin yung pagka-Diyos na dapat niyang panghawakan, kundi siya ay naging alipin. So the issue here, ang naging tutok ng maraming discussion dito ay, what was he emptied of? When in fact, the issue here is what he became. What he became, even though he was God, yet he became a servant. So the discussion should not be what he was less of, but rather what he took upon. He took upon the form of a servant. At yan nga yung sinasabi ni Augustine na remaining what he was, he became what he was not. Hindi sa may nawala sa kanya, kundi may inangkin siya. Hindi nawala yung pagka-Diyos niya, kundi inangkin niya na bagamat siya ay Diyos, siya ay naging alipin. Bukod pa riyan, meron ditong implied parallel sa konteksto niyan. Ang parallel niyan ay kay Adam. Ano bang parallel kay Adam? Ang nangyari kay Adam, Adam was created as servant, yet, ano nangyari sa fall? He wanted to be God. So, he was a servant and yet he desired to become God. And that constituted his fall. Nahulog si Adan kasi bagamat nilikha siya para maglingkod sa Diyos, sa halip naghangad siya sa tukso ni Satanas. Naghangad siya na maging Diyos. Diba? Yan ang tukso ni Satanas. You shall become like gods. So, itong parallel dito. Si Adam ay servant pero hinangad niya maging Diyos. Samantalang si Christ, siya'y tinawag na last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, equal with God. Yan ang ibig sabihin na he was in the form of God. He was equal with God. So, siya mismo Diyos, yet, he humbled himself to become servant. Kaya ang pinaparallel dyan, yung pinagtatambal dyan ay yung nangyari kay Adan nung siya'y nahulog, alipin siya, lingkod siya ng Diyos, naghangad maging Diyos. Samantalang si Jesus, kapantay siya ng Diyos, siya mismo ay Diyos, pero handa siya na maging alipin. Kaya yan yung namimiss ng iba kapag lalong tinutukan ay ano bang nawala sa kanya. Hindi sinasabi rito yung ano nawala sa kanya, kundi ano yung naging siya, bagamat siya ay Diyos, ano yung handa na inangkin niya. So it's what the son became, not what he was emptied of. The wonder here is that he became this God in the form of God, equal with God, yet he became a servant. So without ceasing to be God, the Son took human nature, and in the process, he concealed the divine nature, na itago. Kasi ang nakita ng mga tao, ang kanyang pag-angkin na maging lingkod, maging alipin. At ang ibig sabihin po niyan ay talagang tanggapin natin yung ganyang attitude. Christians should follow that attitude. Yan ang sabi ng Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you. Ang tinututukan doon ay yung mind. Hindi sinabing the nature became less God. Sinasabi ay, if Christ had this mind, let this mind be in you. Yung attitude ang tularan natin sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Pero mula nung siya'y isinilang o mula nung siya'y nag-incarnate, dalawa na ang kalikasan ng ating Panginoon. Jesus Christ from there on has two natures. Kaya ingatan natin yung tinatanggi, yung katotohanan ng pagiging totoong-totoong tao ng ating Panginoon. Malimit sa mga major sin, yan ang nakikita. Yung bata ay may halo. Pati yung nanay, tsaka yung tatay, may halo rin. Hindi totoo yan. Totoong-totoong tao siya. Hindi nung ipinanganak siya, para siyang super baby. Hindi super baby, si Jesus. Nung siya'y nasa manger, he was a real baby. Whatever a baby does, whatever a human baby does, Jesus did. Isipin ninyo lahat ng gagawin ng isang bata, nangyari sa ating Panginoon. Yan ang kagilagilalas sa kapanganakan ni Jesus. Kaya kapag itinataas natin at nilalagyan natin ng mga kumikinang na ilaw na parabang super baby ito, nagkakamali tayo, nawawala yung kagilagilalas sa pagsilang ng anak ng Diyos. Siya ay totoong-totoong tao. He was a true man. and he had that human nature. Yan ang sabi ng Biblia, Romans 8:3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh sa anyo ng isang makasalanang laman. Hindi ibig sabihin ng makasalanan si Jesus, kundi nasa anyo. Kung titingnan mo siya, kagaya lang siya ng kung sinong tao. Hindi siya Superman, kung sino lang tao. And yet, through that, He condemned sin in the flesh. And then, Hebrews 2:14-15, nang dahil sa siya naging tao, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Ang gusto ko lang pakita rito, isang kailangan bakit siya maging, na kinailangan niyang maging tao, ay para siya'y mamatay. Ang ibig sabihin, yun talagang mangyayari lamang sa isang tao ay yung being subject to death. Kaya nangyari yan talaga sa ating Panginoon. Kaya't huwag nating isipin na may mga yung kanyang pagkatao ay anything less or anything more than being human, parang superhuman. We must always believe that those natures are intact in the full integrity of being human and of being divine. Sa diagram na ito, makikita natin sa Trinity, the person of the Father and the person of the Holy Spirit ay divine nature. Only the person of the Son has both divine nature and human nature. And sinabi rin, neither dividing the person, hindi siya naging dalawang persons, but not confounding the natures. Ibig sabihin, yung human, hindi naging divine. Yung divine, hindi naging human. Yet, He is only one person. At lahat ng acts niya ay acts of the one person. Kaya yan ang wonder ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo mula ng kanyang pagkakatawang tao.
It's just one person, two natures. At huwag nating isipin na naghahati siya kapag kung anong may gagawin siya. Yung iba kasi, uy, nung nagutom siya bilang tao. Tapos nung lumakad siya sa tubig bilang Diyos. Ay, hinahati natin yung natures. Lahat ng ginawa niya as one person. Huwag natin siyang hati-hatiin na one side, one nature, another time, the other nature. All that He did as one person. Kagaya rin natin. Lahat ng ginagawa natin, we do as one person. Wala tayong ginagawa na purely katawan o purely kaluluwa. Lahat ng ginagawa natin, we do as one person. So with the Lord Jesus, lahat ng ginawa niya as one person with those two natures. Natures of human and divine. So yan yung napaka hiwaga sa pagkatao ng ating Panginoon. Nang kung hati-hatiin natin yan sa kanyang essential humanity, kasama riyan yung tinatawag na all essential properties of being human. The constitutional parts that make up human nature, which means real body and human soul. Anong ibig sabihin yan? Well, isang sinabi, Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Ang hirap tanggapin ng iba nito, pero yan talagang sinasabi, lumago siya sa karunungan. Kung lumago sa karunungan, ibig sabihin, may punto na may mga hindi pa siya alam bago niya nalaman. At kagaya rin sa physical, may punto na ganito pa lang yung laki niya, tapos lumaki siya. So kung ganun yung sa body, ganun din sa mental, sa intellectual. So all human properties, and that includes emotional humanity. Matthew 26:38, sa Gethsemane, sinabi niya, then He said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. So very sorrowful. Naranasan niya yung kalungkutan, kabigatan ng loob. At napaka, in fact, napaka comforting nitong isipin, dinaanan pala ng Panginoon yun. Yung mga dinaraanan nating lungkot, bigat ng kalooban, pagdadalamhati, lahat ng yan dinaanan ng Panginoon because they are human emotions. And all those human emotions, Jesus has gone through. And besides all real essential properties, kahit yung infirmities o yung mga kahinaan ng pagkatao, that includes limitations and weaknesses. Sa Matthew 21:18, in the morning as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. That's physical limitation. Naranasan niyang talagang magutom. Totoo bang gutom yun? Totoo. Walang make-believe dito. Huwag natin isipin na parang nagpapakita lang ng halimbawa na pwede kang magutom na hindi magkasala. Yan ang naririnig ko sinasabi ng iba. Eh, hindi yun. Hindi to make-believe. Totoo siyang nagutom. Then, etong na-discuss na natin nung nakaraan, pero eto pang isang seryosohin natin. Sinabi niya tungkol sa darating na yung kanyang pagdating, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Sino yung no one knows? Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So at the point that he was speaking here, napatandaan, nasa period siya ng kanyang humiliation. Wala pa yung resurrection dyan. Doon sa resurrection pa lang niya, tinanggap uli yung buong, yung sinabing the Son of God with power. So at this point, sabi, no one knows. Yung no one dyan, mga tao. Do we know? We do not. Angels do not know. Do angels know? They do not. Eh, pagdating sa, pag sinabi kong pati yung Son, at this point, he did not know, ang daming naghihimagsik. Gusto nilang ipilit, eh, God siya. Kung God siya, omniscient siya. So dapat alam niya. Eh, siya na nagsasabi. Siniseryoso ko lang naman siya. Kung seseryosohin natin yung sinasabi niya, at this point that he was speaking, as the Son who humbled himself, he did not know. Hindi niya alam. Now, nung siya ba'y bumalik sa kanyang kapangyarihan at siya'y tinaglay na niya ang pagkahari, alam na ba niya? I'm sure he does. But at this point, he humbled himself, he did not know. And we must accept that. Then, kasama na, pati yung pagkikipagtunggali niya sa kasalanan, he was without sin. Pero, ang sabi ng Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Ngayon dito marami nagtatalo. Talaga bang natukso ang Panginoon? Again, seryosohin natin yung salitang ginamit rito. He was tempted at all points. Now, what we must be careful to establish is he never sinned. He never sinned in thought, in attitude, in word, or in deed. Hindi siya nagkasala sa isip, sa saloobin, sa salita, o sa gawa. Wala siyang kasalanan. Pero may tukso ba? Eh, ito ang sinabi. Again, we must take this seriously. There are those who think that whatever temptation Jesus had to deal with, that Satan tempted Jesus with, it was like to Jesus a walk in the park. I don't think so. Let me put the analogy this way. I think it was even more difficult for him. Ang analogy ko riyan ay tulad sa isang ako lumaki ako sa isang area sa Santa Mesa na maruming lugar at common bathroom for several families in that place, and you live in that place, you live in mud, muck, and dirt, filth. And I was accustomed to it. Halimbawa, nagkabisita kami at nagkaroon kami ng bisita na galing sa mga sa malinis na lugar, subdivision, hindi sanay sa ganun, eh, diring-diri siya sa mga nakapaligid sa kanya. Hirap na hirap siya. Pero kaming tumira na doon, sanay na sanay kami. Now, think of the Lord Jesus in glory, sinless glory. Yan ang kanyang paligid for eternity. And then, for one period in history, He was in mud. He was in sin. He was in the filth of this world. So, if you ask me, was there temptation in terms of struggle? Yes. In terms of someone holy who cannot stomach sin and yet exposed to it. While we are sinners, we dwell in it. It's something common to us. Pero in the case of the Lord Jesus, the Holy One was exposed in filth. So kung tatanungin niyo ako, totoo ba itong temptation sa kanya? I believe it was a real struggle, and therefore, His victory over sin is all the more remarkable, all the more to be wondered at, na nagumpay siya sa kasalanan. So, tanggalin natin ang anumang mga maling pag-iisip tungkol sa two natures of Christ. Lagi nating ipagtanggol. Ito ang ilang mga kamalian. Laging nagkakamali sa pagtatangkilik nitong dalawang nature. H stands for human, D for divine. So yung iba, tinatanggi yung divine nature like ebionism. Yung iba, tinatanggi yung human nature like docetism. At yung iba naman ay pinaghihiwalay yung dalawang natures kagaya ni Nestor. Nestorianism. They deny the union of human natures. So dyan nangyayari yung kuminsan divine, minsan human. Tinanggi yung union. Yung iba naman ay tinanggi yung distinction. At yung iba ay ginawang yung human ay doon lamang sa pangangatawan. Well, we must reject any disjunction or any denial of the natures of the one person of Christ. Hanggang kailan siya ganito? Hebrews 7:24, He holds His priesthood permanently because He continues forever. From the time of His conception, from the time of the incarnation, the Son of God will forever be God-man. So it wasn't a temporary sacrifice on His part. When the Son of God became man, He knew that it would be forever. He is forever God-man. So magpakailanman ang kanyang pagiging Diyos at tao. Now, anong dahilan ng kinakailangan ito? Well, una na ay sapagkat upang siya ay maging tagapamagitan, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So, walang ibang tagapamagitan kagaya ni Jesus. Siya yung Diyos at nagkatawang tao. Hindi yan totoo kay Mama Mary. Ina-appreciate natin, dapat nating pahalagahan ang naging papel ni Maria bilang nagdala sa kanyang sinapupunan ng anak ng Diyos. Hindi natin minamaliit yun. Gayunpaman, si Maria ay hindi tagapamagitan sapagkat hindi siya Diyos. Ang tanging tagapamagitan ay ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Ang banal na Espiritu ay napakahalaga ang papel, pero hindi rin siya ang tagapamagitan sapagkat hindi siya tao. Kaya hindi pwede si Mama Mary, hindi siya Diyos, hindi ang Espiritu Santo sapagkat hindi siya tao. Ang tanging qualified na tagapamagitan ay si Hesukristo sapagkat siya ay Diyos at tao. At ikalawang kadahilanan ay upang tuparin niya ang naging layunin ng Diyos para sa tao. Tandaan natin, ang unang naging kinatawa ng tao ay si Adan. Pero nakita natin kanina, nagkamali siya ng hangad, hinangad niyang maging Diyos. Ngayon si Jesus, tinupad niya kung ano dapat ang layunin ng Diyos sa tao. But we see Him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. So yung sinabi itong he was for a little while made lower than the angels is the description of man, what man is in Psalm 8. At ito ay binigyang katuparan ng ating Panginoon at binigyan niya tayo ng huwaran paano mamuhay bilang isang taong sumusunod sa kanya. This is best summarized by C.S. Lewis again, who said, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." So, sa pamamagitan lamang ng ating Panginoon, magkakaroon ng mabigyang katuparan ang layunin ng Diyos para sa tao. Kaya nga, while we are awed by the deity of Christ, we should, let us not lose sight of the wonder of His humanity. So, there was a time when theology was considered in the 19th century the queen of the sciences. Harvard, Cambridge, Oxford, all of them considered theology the queen of the sciences. Today, it's not even considered a science. Pero itong isang dahilan na this was considered queen of the sciences, I am myself a fond student of science. I try to study, read about, and marvel at quantum physics, at chemistry, and I marvel at what science is able to teach us. But look at this. Who can look at such a doctrine? What science compares to that? I say nothing. And I mean it, that this is a marvel that only the Word of God can teach us. No test tube, no laboratory will ever give you the wonder of the incarnation. So I glory and I marvel at the doctrine of the incarnation. Any question? John. No miracle he did is a proof of his deity. Remember, sa Acts chapter 10, Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So everything he did in terms of miracles while here on earth is not a proof of his deity. It was a proof that God was with him, not a proof that he was God. Kaya wag natin gamitin yung miracle working niya, yung kanyang paglakad sa tubig, yung pagpapakain niya ng marami ay pruweba ng kanyang pagka-Diyos. Marami tayong magagamit na pruweba ng kanyang pagka-Diyos, like explicit designations, divine characters, pero yung mga ginawa niyang milagro ay ginawa niya bilang Mesiyas, bilang sinugo ng Diyos, hindi bilang Diyos. Go ahead.
Doon po sa particular trait na parang he was able to discern yung ano ba yung nasa nasa heart nung mga Pharisees do sa ibang instances na na-encounter niya siya. I mean, not necessarily a miracle per se, but is this because he was
hindi
familiar
rin.
Lang?
Hindi rin. Ang tandaan natin, during the whole course of his state of humiliation, hindi niya ginamit yung kanyang divine attributes as such, kundi nagpakababa siya, lahat ng ginawa niya as under the law, as yung sinabi ng Galatians chapter 4. Kaya hindi siya umibabaw sa kautusan, sa batas ng Diyos sa buong panahon na siya ay nasa mababang kalagayan. So kasama na yung kaalaman niya, tandaan natin, even the prophets had such prophetic discernment. Pwede nilang malaman kung ibinigay sa kanila ng Diyos. Kaya ang punto ay, hindi tayo mauubusan ng pruweba ng pagka-Diyos ni Yeso Kristo. Pero yung kanyang mga ginawang makapangyarihan sa panahon ng kanyang ministeryo sa lupa, hindi yun ang pruweba ng kanyang pagka-Diyos. Glenn.
Ang mga leader or mga god ba ng Hinduism ba or other religion na lalapit doon or gumaya sa incarnation?
Hindi. Walang mag-a-approximate ng pananampalatayang Kristiyano sa katuruan ng pagkakatawang tao ng Diyos. Walang katulad ito. There is no parallel either in terms of Trinity walang parallel yan sa ibang theology ng ibang religions. Gayun din sa incarnation, walang parallel ito sa theology ng ibang mga reliyon. Kaya yung ibang mga reliyon, maaaring magsabi sila na yung Diyos nila nagpakita sa ganitong anyo, ganitong reincarnation, pero not the kind of God-man indwelling of the Son of God, none in any of other religions on earth. Paul.
Pastor, dun sa, just to extend po dun sa point ni John, I think it was Ferguson who explained that the Holy Spirit was Christ's constant companion on earth, and it may explain why he's able to discern the hearts of men. And
Yeah, that's right. So, yun nga, dahil yun sa that special inhabitation of the Spirit in the Messiah, sabi ng John chapter 3, the Spirit dwelt in him without measure. So, yung kanyang kakayahan ay hindi dahil sa kanyang pagka-Diyos, kundi dahil siya ay pinanahanan ng kapangyarihan ng Espiritu. Meron pa? Ian.
Pastor, is it right to assume na though Christ is in the flesh, pero hindi natin siya ka-level because he is sinless and parang he is like Adam before the fall. So that's why in terms of knowledge, mas mabilis siyang nag-grow.
Well, if you mean his sinlessness has had an effect on his body, I would say yes. In the sense, I'm sure na sins would have effects on our body which would be part of our sinfulness. I'm sure that because he wasn't a glutton, he would not be overweight. you mean like something like that. So may effect, I'm sure, because of his sinlessness. Pero yung sabihin natin na he was more or less superhuman because he is God, I would not accept that.
Ay, Pastor, wala kasing account sa Bible na nagkasakit siya. So, talaga bang superhuman siya? Or ano ba kaya ang human nature niya in that case?
Well, may account na napagod siya, may account na nagutom siya. So, was he ever sick? We cannot tell. It would not be seen on his part kung nagkasakit man siya. But I would assume that he would have gone through all human experiences less than sin, na hindi kasalanan, pero dinaanan niya ang lahat ng dinadaanan ng isang tao sa physical. Go ahead, Pastor.
Isa pa, yung sa human nature niya, kasi ina-attribute nga na si Mary ang kanyang mother. And then, na-mention mo kasi, although last week, embryo din siya. So, well, thinking doon sa biological way of fertilization, may nanggaling ba kay Maria o inimplant lang ng Holy Spirit na embryo na siya? So, so walang contribution ba si Mary doon sa kanyang humanity except na tumira lang siya doon sa womb ni Mary? Of course, wala sa scripture pero baka meron sa theology mga theories about that.
Well, I'm sure merong galing kay Mary kaya nga kinailangan siya because the processes of the womb would have been necessary for the humanity to be conceived, developed. So all the process ng gestation until birth, the processes in the womb of Mary would have contributed something to Jesus' humanity. But because sin is by direct imputation from Adam, and Jesus being not of Adam, kundi a second Adam, there would have been no sin. Kasi hindi tayo naniniwala na yung kasalanan ay mana sa magulang. Yan yung paniwala ng mga Lutherans, kaya mahirap nalang ipaliwanag yung case ni Jesus. Ang paniwala sa Reformed theology ay yung tinatawag nating immediate imputation. Galing kay Adam yung kasalanan natin, hindi sa magulang. Kaya si Jesus, dahil hindi siya galing kay Adam, kundi siya mismo ay Adam, second Adam, wala siyang kasalanan. Pero yung katawan niya, I'm sure, may galing kay Mary. oh, yun siguro ang na-conceive because sabi sa Luke 1:35 ng angel Gabriel kay Mary, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and therefore that which you will conceive, so ang nag-conceive ay si Mary, that which you will conceive will be called the Son of God. Kaya yes, I believe Mary had a contribution but no sin involved. And remember that after the birth of Jesus, Mary would have had other children at pinangalanan pa nga sila sa ibang accounts sa Gospels, including John 7. In fact, two of those siblings of Jesus became apostles themselves, Jude and James. Kaya hindi tayo naniniwala sa perpetual virginity. We believe in the virgin birth. When Jesus was born, he was born by a virgin, but Mary did not remain a virgin after that. Other questions?
Pastor, yung po sa Mark 13:32 na sinasabi po na tungkol sa pagdating ng Panginoon na yung pangalawang pagparito ay ang Ama lamang po ang nakakaalam at hindi po ang anak. Ibig sabihin po ba noon ay di po ba sabi ang ama at anak ay iisa? Ngunit bakit hindi po alam ng anak?
Sa pagkakataong yun na siya'y nagpakababa, kaya yung, kung lalagyan natin ng bracket from the time of conception, incarnation, until the time of the resurrection, yun ang panahon na siya'y nagpakababa. Kasama na yung kanyang mga kapangyarihang pagka-Diyos, kaalaman, ay nagpakababa siya. Kaya sa puntong sinasabi niya yun, totoong hindi niya alam. Dahil nagpakababa siya. Pero hindi ibig sabihin na hanggang ngayon hindi niya alam. Pero sa puntong sinasabi niya yon ay hindi niya alam dahil nasa kalagayan siya ng kababaan. Kaya ang punto ko ay seryosohin natin yung talagang pagpapakababa ni Jesus, talagang nagpakababa siya. Eh, nakwento ko yata sa inyo, may bago akong estudyante nung tinatalakay namin yung galit na galit siya. Anong ibig sabihin? Nagka-amnesia siya. Hindi amnesia, humiliation ang tawag doon. Other questions or thoughts you like to share? Mel? Sige, masyado kong mataas.
Meron pong naniniwala na ang Diyos Ama ay Diyos at ang anak ay Diyos na naging tao. Pero hindi po naniniwala na ang Espiritu, ang banal na Espiritu ay Diyos. Meron po bang kaligtasan sa ganung?
Pag-ibahin natin yung hindi nalalaman doon sa itinatanggi. Pinag-iiba yan, yung those who do not have mature knowledge as against those who reject the knowledge. Merong mga, they do not have mature knowledge, hindi nalang masyado maipaliwanag ang Trinity. Kung minsan pag pinipilit nilang liwanag, they end up heretical. Pero it's because of immature knowledge, not because of rejection of biblical knowledge. Pero kung talagang nire-reject nila ng tahasan, sinasabi nilang hindi persona ang Espiritu, hindi Diyos ang Espiritu, that will be rejecting the true God. So I believe that rejection of the true God will be rejection of the gospel, rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that includes rejecting the Holy Spirit as true God. Pero kung hindi lang nila nalalaman at hindi pa sila nakakarating sa tumpak na kaalaman, ay maaring totoo silang mananampalataya na may maling kaalaman. Other thoughts? Tina?
Talaga pong na-bless po ako sa series natin na to na yun pong it is so beautiful to see that God and our Savior is a God-man who emptied himself in full humiliation na yun nga po sa Adamic nature po ng tao ay nandun po yung aspiration niya to be looked upon, to aspire for glory. And yet, God himself, lalo na po dun sa illustration niyo po kanina na in his holy state, bumaba siya dito sa filthy world, dito mismo sa ating makasalanang mundo. At yun po na personally po, sa akin nakita ko po na napaka talaga nung gear na yon. And aside from that, yun po na he can sympathize with our weaknesses, with our pains, with our struggles. Dahil totoo po na naging tao siya. So kahit na po anong mapagdaanan pa po natin, panghahamak, panghahatol ng ibang tao, alam po niya yon sa pag-iisa po natin, alam po niya yon. So napakalaking bagay po nito sa buhay Kristiyano ko na sa mga pagdadaanan ko pa po, alam ko po na siya po yung high priest na tumatayo po, who knows my weaknesses and who can look upon me na hindi po niya i-despise dahil binigyan po niya ng yun pong relation na joint heir po niya, hindi po malayo sa Diyos kundi abot kamay po ang Diyos Ama na may relasyon tayo na siya ay Ama natin. So maraming salamat po at talaga pong pinupuri ko ang Panginoon.
Okay, thank you, Tina. Isang very precious word ang ginamit sa Hebrews ay yung sympathy. He is a sympathizing high priest. Ibig sabihin, nakakasimpatya siya sa ating mga kahinaan, even sa mga pagkikibaka natin sa kasalanan. In fact, I cited Hebrews 4:15, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And right after that, sinabi yung we can draw near to the throne of grace because he can sympathize with us. So, ang punto roon ay dahil siya nga ay totoong naging tao at pinagdaanan niya lahat ng kahinaan, karupukan ng pagkatao maliban sa kasalanan, ay meron siya talagang simpatya na mapagkukunan natin ng kalakasan sa panahon na tayo nakikipaka sa ating mga kahinaan. So, this is a precious doctrine. Any last thoughts? June.
Pastor, may tanong po rito. Do you think he experienced attraction for women in his being human?
If you mean if he ever considered marriage, no. Because he knew his calling, and his calling was not that of raising a family. Kaya ano man yung mga pandaraya ni Dan Brown, na nagkaroon sila ng relasyon ni Mary Magdalene, yan ay malaking kamalian at walang katotohanan. Sinabi sa binasa natin kanina, tempted in all points as we are. So, would there be temptations in regard to the opposite gender? Yes, kasi all points. So, lahat ng temptation, but no sin. No sin in thought, no sin in attitude, word, or deed. But temptations in all points, yes. So, other thoughts?
Hello po. Gusto ko lang pong i-share yung napakalaking encouragement nung example na ginawa ni Christ no, sa sinasabi ni Paul sa Philippians 2 kung paano siya ay nagpakababa. Kasi po, sa church, parang if you involve yourself sa buhay ng ibang tao or sa isang ministry, you will just parang get into trouble or mawawala yung comfort mo imbis na napapahinga ka na sana tapos dahil in-involve mo yung sarili mo, nahirapan ka and gumawa ka ng mga sacrifices. Parang napakalaking encouragement na meron tayong Lord na siya mismo ay nagpakababa para abutin tayo. Yun po. Maging encouragement sana yun sa bawat isa sa atin na abutin natin yung iba.
Yeah, exactly. And kung tingnan nyo sa Philippians 2, yung gradation doon, sinabi na siya hindi niya inangkin ang pagka-Diyos. Well, pwede siyang naging hari, taong hari. But no, he became a servant. And yung kanyang pagiging servant, sinabi he obeyed. Well, he can obey. Let's say he obeys to heroism. No, he obeys unto death. Well, pwedeng gawin natin yung death niya is a martyr's death. A death of someone people will admire. No, it was the death on a cross. So, palaging pinapakita yung the extreme. He was God. He could have remained God, but he did not. Well, if he did not remain God, he could at least be born a king, but no, he became a servant. Well, as a servant, he could just obey to something glorious. No, he obeyed to death. Well, he could have died in a glorious death. No, he died in the most humiliating way, death on the cross. And if our Lord did that, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So kung yung sinasabi nga ni Ben, mag-involve tayo sa pangangailangan ng iba, maaring yan ay makiupo ka lang sa kanya, makinig lang sa kanyang mga hinaing, ay wala pa yun sa going to the cross. And yet, we often complain. So let this mind shape the way we deal with others, which is the point of Philippians 2. Treat others better than yourself. Meron pa? Well, like I said kanina, I'm sure those of you who are involved in scientific research, you would have your experiences of marveling at your field, your eureka moments, as Archimedes would put it. Well, this is one of my eureka moments to study the eternal Son becoming man. It has taken generations, and yet still, to this day, unfathomable, and continues to marvel. Continues to be an object of marvel. Sana wag mawala yung ating pagkamangha at panggigilalas sa bagay na ito sa gitna ng napakaraming mga ginagawa in pag-aangkin ng pagdiriwang sa pagsilang ng Panginoon. Nanggigilalas ako sa nangyari sa pagsilang ng Panginoon kung iisipin natin na ang anak ng Diyos mula sa kawalang hanggan ay naging tunay na tao sa kanyang pagkakatawang tao. Let us not lose the marvel on that. Let us close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, tunay kaming namamanghat, nanggigilalas sa katotohanan na ang anak ng Diyos na mula sa walang hanggan ay tunay na nagkatawang tao, naging bata, at lumaki at naranasan ang lahat ng karupukan at kahinaan ng pagkatao maliban sa kasalanan. At nawa nga Panginoon ay tunay kaming mamangha sa katotohanan ito, at kung isipin namin ang mga implikasyon nito, that the Son of God could have remained and could have just held fast to His divine nature, yet He chose to be born. He could have chosen to be born a royalty, yet He chose to be a servant. And He could have chosen to obey in an obedience that is glorious, yet He obeyed unto death. And He could have obeyed to death in a marvelous death, yet He obeyed to death on the cross. And when we think all of this, grant that we may have a measure of that exhortation of Paul, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So grant that we may never lose the marvel and the wonder at the Son of God becoming man. And grant that all this will redound to your praise and to our own humility, to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.